Blog Talk Radio.
Praise the mighty Yah that you're able to listen to us here on Nothing But the Truth. We have a very provocative program for you this evening, very controversial topic to discuss with you, and thought-provoking. So before we get into our program, I would like to announce to everyone that our conference, the Restoration of the Sacred Laws of the Most High Conference, will be held next week here in Cincinnati, Ohio, right in Evanston, Ohio, Cincinnati, Evanston, Ohio, at the school called Alliance Academy of Cincinnati. It's 1712 Duck Creek Road. That's where our Shabbat services will be held. And we, our hotel is in Kenwood. And if you, to get more information about our conference, just go to our website, worldgatheringisrael.org. That's worldgatheringisrael.org. And our information about the conference will be right there. We'll be discussing what is a watchman according to the scriptures and what is an elder according to the scriptures of Yah. And what are the signs that let us know who the king of Israel is in the latter days? So our conference, the 24th Annual Sacred Laws Conference, will be held next week, July the 20th through the 23rd. We have a Hebrew bash plan and a cookout on the first day. So please, Cincinnati, or you will be in Cincinnati that weekend, which is next weekend, please come out and fellowship with us and praise the mighty Yah and magnify him together. Hallelujah. I'm joined this evening with my brother, Obadiah ben Israel. Would you like to say shalom?
Shalom. Praise the mighty God.
Hallelujah. And again, just to remind everyone that I'm sitting in for Moray Ishaya this evening, and I'm Moray Ishaya. But as I stated, we have very interesting topic to deal with. On the program a couple weeks prior, Moray Ishaya was dealing with Yahweh mentioned in the scriptures. And we dealt with the first captivity that was mentioned by Yah in the scriptures is in the book of Genesis, the 15th chapter. The 13th verse. And in the book of Genesis, the 15th chapter, the 13th verse, it reads,
"And he said unto Abram, Know of a surety that thy seed shall be a stranger in a land that is not theirs, and shall serve them, and they shall afflict them 400 years. And also the nation whom they shall serve will I judge, and afterwards shall they come out with great substance. And thou shalt go to thy fathers in peace. Thou shalt be buried in a good old age. But in the fourth generation they shall come hither again, for the iniquity of the Amorites is not yet full."
So notice, the Almighty shared with his friend, and that's who Abraham was to Yah, friend. He shared with him that he would put his seed in a land that is not theirs, and they shall serve this people in this land, and they shall be afflicted by the people in this land for 400 years. Now, this is the first captivity mentioned, but is in actuality the last children of Israel in the Holy Scriptures. And we dealt with all the captivities mentioned, which was this one was the first. We dealt with the second captivity mentioned, which was when the children of Israel went into the land of Egypt and became slaves there. And Yahweh delivered us from Egypt. And then, after we had been on our land for a long time, and the children of Israel rebelled against the word of the Most High, even though Yahweh raised up his prophets rising early, sending them, children of Israel, to let them to know that they are to return from their wicked ways and return to the Most High. Yet the children of Israel rebelled against Yah. Therefore, Yahweh sent the northern tribes, or the 10 tribes of Israel, into captivity under the Assyrians. And if you notice, today it is the country or the nation of Syria who are the descendants of the ancient Assyrians. It is them today who have been wiped off the map from their civil war. But Yahweh sent the children of Israel into the Assyrians, the 10 tribes. Then the fourth captivity mentioned was when Yah sent the children of Yehuda and Benjamin and the residue of the Israelites into captivity under Nebuchadnezzar to Babylon. And there, the Almighty had us in slavery for 70 years, as it has been mentioned in the book of Jeremiah, the 25th chapter. The fifth captivity mentioned was that of the Medes, and the sixth was of the Persians. And then the seventh captivity that is mentioned in the scriptures is the captivity under the Grecians. And who are the Grecians? The Grecians are the fourth beast. But let me show you what Yahweh said in the book of Isaiah. Start reading in the third verse of the 52nd chapter. Yahweh wants us to know something here about these captivities. Start reading really in the first.
Isaiah 52 verse 1 reads, "Awake, awake, put on thy strength, O Zion. Put on thy beautiful garments, O Jerusalem, the holy city. For henceforth there shall no more come into thee the uncircumcised and the unclean. Shake thyself from the dust. Arise and sit down, O Jerusalem. Loose thyself from the bands of thy neck, O captive daughters of Zion. For thus saith Yah, ye have sold yourselves for naught."
Now look what Yah is saying. Yah is saying, sold yourselves for nothing. Meaning, it didn't cost nothing for you to turn from Yah. You didn't get anything for what you did. You sold yourselves for nothing. You were stolen. Nobody had to even buy you. They stole you. And then they decided to sell you. You sold yourselves for nothing.
And ye shall be redeemed without money.
And you shall be redeemed without money. That's why ain't no financial revolution going to happen that's going to get black people out of our situation. Financial freedom is not going to free us from slavery. No money will redeem us. Mm-hmm.
"For thus saith Yah Elohim, my people went down aforetime into Egypt to sojourn there."
So he lets you know we went to Egypt, and we were in Egypt, and we sojourned there in Egypt, but then...
"And the Assyrians oppressed them without cause."
And then the Assyrians oppressed us without cause.
"Now therefore, what have I here, saith Yah, that my people was taken away for naught?"
Now that we're here amidst Babylon, the daughter of Babylon, in the kingdom under the fourth beast, we've been taken away for nothing.
"And they that rule over them make them to howl."
And the ones that are ruling over us are creating us to howl like dogs. That's why you got people like DMX barking on their songs and howling howling like wolves. He said they make them to howl. That's how much oppression is happening to our people, that we howl.
Mm-hmm. And my name continually every day is blasphemed.
And you see in this captivity, the seventh one under the fourth beast, this is where Yah's name has been blasphemed continually. Every day. That he's not exaggerating. He's letting you know and saying, Yah, my name continually every day is blasphemed. So every day you hear people saying hallelujah and they don't serve Yah one bit. They curse Yah. They call him all kind of different names. And his people, we, the children of Israel, have joined in with the fray to say these blasphemous things against the mighty Yah, to take his name for nothing. But yet, the Most High let us know this won't be for long. Verse 6.
Therefore, my people shall know my name. Therefore, they shall know in that day that I am he that does speak.
And since the world has took Yah for light and his people has forgotten him, he said in the day he returns his word unto his people, they're going to know his name. That's why we know who one of Yah's servants is, because he came in the name of Yah and he taught the word of Yah. And Yah said, how beautiful upon the mountains are the feet of him that bringeth good tidings, that publisheth peace, that bring good tidings of good, that publisheth salvation, that saying to Zion, thy Elohim reigneth. And see, that's what's going to happen when this captivity ends. But let's see what this captivity is and who this captivity is oversought by. Who did Yahweh say would do this? Go to the book of Daniel, the 7th chapter. Also, take note that the fourth beast is the one ruling today. And also, we're speaking about the fourth beast today, and it is the fourth month. In the fourth, the order of four, because Yahweh only has seven orders. Letting you know, Yahweh only has seven orders. He made 7 days. And everything that Yahweh made on heaven and earth was made in 7 days. And everything that was made in 6 days, and he rested on the seventh. And everything that was made, Yahweh did it within these 7 days, and he gave order to each thing and everything that he made, and he put it in either one of these days. There's only seven orders, and in the order of four, it represents Yah's praises, and it is the fourth month of Yah's year right now, so it's the month that we are to give Yah some praises. And it's the fourth beast that Yahweh is speaking of about this final captivity. Start reading in the book of Daniel, the 7th chapter, the first verse.
In the first year of Belshazzar, king of Babylon, Daniel had a dream and visions of his head upon his bed. Then he wrote the dream and told the sum of the matters.
So you see, Daniel recorded the time when he had this dream. That's right, he recorded it, the first year of this king Belshazzar. So we don't want to hear that Yahweh doesn't consider markings or recordings of dates. But he recorded it, and he wrote the matter. In verse 2,
Daniel spake and said, I saw in my vision by night, and behold, The four winds of the heaven strove upon the great sea.
There's four winds.
Mm-hmm. Strove upon the great sea, and the four great beasts came up from the sea, diverse one from another.
Four great beasts.
Mm-hmm. The first was like a lion and had eagle's wings.
Now, the first beast is the kingdom of Babylon. The first one, like a lion, he had eagle's wings. And then
I beheld to the wings thereof were plucked, and it was lifted up from the earth and made stand upon the feet as a man, and a man's heart was given to it. And behold, another beast, a second.
Now, the second beast came after the king of Babylon, came after the kingdom of Babylon. And if you read the book of Daniel around the fifth chapter, you'll see that after the sons of Nebuchadnezzar reigned, the Medes took over the kingdom, and now they reign. So the Medes reigned after the kingdom of Babylon. So the second beast,
like to a bear,
was like a bear.
And it raised up itself on one side, and it had three ribs in the mouth of it, between the teeth of it. And they said thus unto it, arise, devour much flesh.
In this kingdom of the Medes ruled greater lands than the kingdom of Nebuchadnezzar, though it wasn't as glorious as the kingdom of Babylon, which is why all the kingdoms after Babylon wanted to conquer Babylon. Because you'll read in the book of Daniel, if you just hold this here, you'll read in the book of Daniel, the second chapter, Yah showed Daniel this. In the book of Daniel, chapter 2, start reading in verse 31, because the king Nebuchadnezzar had this dream. He couldn't understand it, and Daniel was able to see and tell him what it meant. In Daniel 2 and 31, it says,
thou, O king, sawest, and behold a great image. This great image, whose brightness was excellent, stood before thee, and the form thereof was terrible. This image head was of fine gold.
Again, this is the kingdom of Babylon, the head of gold.
His breast and his arms of silver.
His belly and his thighs
are brass.
You see? And his legs
of iron. And his feet part of iron and part of clay.
Mm-hmm.
Thou sawest till that a stone was cut out without hands, which smote the image upon his feet that were of iron and clay, and break them to pieces. Then was the iron, the clay, the brass, the silver, and the gold broken to pieces together.
So all the residue of these kingdoms was broken by this rock hewn without hands that just smashed this image.
Mm-hmm. Became like the chaff of the summer threshing floors, and the wind carried them away, that no place was found for them. And the stone that smote the image became a great mountain and filled the whole earth.
And that stone that destroyed this image became a mountain that took up the whole earth.
Mm-hmm. This is the dream, and we will tell the interpretation thereof before the king. Thou, O king, are a king of kings.
Nebuchadnezzar was the king of kings.
For the Elohim of heaven have given thee a kingdom, power and strength, and glory.
And wheresoever the children of men dwell, the beasts of the field and the fowls of the heaven, he hath given unto thy hand, and he hath made thee ruler over them all. Thou art this head of gold. The king of Babylon is the head of gold. And after thee there shall arise another kingdom inferior to thee, and another, a third kingdom of brass, which shall bear rule over all the earth. And the fourth kingdom shall be strong as iron, for as much as iron breaketh in pieces and subdueth all things, and as iron that breaketh all these shall it break in pieces and bruise. And whereas thou saw the feet and the toes part of potter's clay and part iron, the kingdom shall be divided but there shall be in it the strength of the iron, for as much as thou sawest the iron mixed with miry clay. And as the toes of the feet were part of the iron and the part of the clay, so the kingdom shall be partly strong and partly broken. And whereas thou sawest iron mixed with miry clay, they shall mingle themselves with the seed of men, but they shall not cleave one to another, even as iron is not mixed with clay. So he's letting Nebuchadnezzar know about this image that he saw, which coincides with the beast that we're talking about right now. Said that these other kings were inferior to his kingdom, yet that's why they wanted to conquer Babylon. And so the Medes conquered Babylon, and we were in verse 6, and we read about the first beast, which was Nebuchadnezzar's kingdom, Babylon. Then we read about the second beast, which is the Medes. Now we're going to read about the third beast, which is the Persians.
Mm-hmm. And after this I beheld, and lo, another like a leopard, which had upon the back of it four wings of a fowl. The beast had also four heads, and dominion was given to it. After this.
Now, the third beast was even stronger than the second and the first. It was even more dominant, but it wasn't as glorious as the first kingdom. But it was more dominant. And you know that the Persians were more dominant than even the Medes and the Chaldeans. Just hold that and look in the book of Esther, the first chapter of Esther. You'll see the rulership of the Persian kingdom. Mm-hmm. Esther chapter 1, verse 1.
It reads, now it came to pass in the days of Ahasuerus, which reigned from India even unto Ethiopia, over 127 provinces, that in those days, when the king Ahasuerus sat on the throne of his kingdom, which was in Shushan, in the palaces, and in the third year of his reign.
Now you see, this is the king Ahasuerus, and he reigns over 120 provinces. Over 127 provinces. From India all the way to Africa. So they had more reign than the Medes and the Babylonians. Now, that was the third beast. Now, I know many think that, no, that wasn't the Persians. But yes, the Medes and the Persians were two different kingdoms. Yet they were together at once, but they became split. And you had kingdoms of the Medes and kingdoms of the Persians. And then we start reading in the seventh verse of Daniel chapter 7.
And after this, I saw in the night visions, and behold, a fourth beast.
The fourth beast.
Dreadful and terrible.
Dreadful and terrible.
And strong exceedingly.
And strong and exceedingly strong. This fourth beast was dreadful. Again, the fourth beast. Just remember, the fourth beast, we're talking about this in the fourth month, and Yah said we will be in captivity for 400 years. Now, he said this beast was dreadful and terrible and strong exceedingly, and it had
great iron teeth.
As the image that Nebuchadnezzar saw was iron. Mm-hmm.
And it devoured and brake in pieces, and stamped the residue with the feet of it. And it was diverse from all the beasts that was before it. And it had 10 horns.
Mm-hmm.
And I considered the horns.
Now listen, the fourth beast had 10 horns. And then Daniel observed the horns. And behold, there came up among them
another little horn.
A little horn. But out of these 10 horns came up this little horn,
mm-hmm, before whom they were three of the first horns plucked up by the roots.
Before of whom were three that he plucked up. So this little horn plucked up these three horns by the roots.
And behold, in this horn were eyes like the eyes of man.
And this little horn had eyes like a man.
And a mouth speaking great things.
And this little horn had a mouth speaking great things. Now what horn? Now most horns that I know of, they're white. You know, ivory. That's what they call ivory. A lot of horns are white. What white horn you know that got that's dreadful and ugly looking? They got eyes and it talks. Just think about that. What you who you know that looks like that? Some little dreadful, ugly, white thing. With eyes and a mouth. I will tell you who that is in a little bit later. Verse 9.
I beheld, till the thrones were cast down, and the Ancient of Days did sit, whose garment was white as snow.
And he said, now, after this strange horn appeared and started seeing and talking, now the thrones were cast down, and the Ancient of Days sat, and his garment was white as snow, and the hair of his head was of pure wool, like the hair on my head, or the hair on my brother Obadiah's head, or the hair on our brother doing the boards, Abraham's head, or any other black man or woman that you know that has been a descendant of slaves that has woolly hair. This is the hair that Daniel observed on the Most High. So that lets you know we are his children. Pure wool. And his throne was like the fiery flame, and his wheels as burning fire. A fiery stream issued and came forth from before him. Thousands, thousands ministered unto him, and 10,000 times 10,000 stood before him. The judgment was set and the books were opened. I beheld then because of the voice of the great words which the horn spake. Now what little white, ugly, dreadful white thing that got that looks like a horn that got eyes and talks and is speaking great words? And he said, I beheld even till the beast was slain. Yah slew this beast, and his body was destroyed. That means he destroyed him. He annihilated this beast and given to the burning flame. I mean, he was done for. So what that lets me know is that this fourth beast, when Yahweh sits in judgment, ain't no more going to be left of this fourth beast. So everybody that think they little fourth beast friends is going to make it to the land, Yahweh is letting you know right here, everything about this fourth beast is destroyed. So who is this fourth beast? Now just remember the horns that was spoken of. And when he said that he destroyed this beast, the Ancient of Days sat and he destroyed this beast. And in verse 12, it says, as concerning the rest of the beasts, they had their dominion taken away, yet their lives were prolonged for a season and a time. I saw in night visions, and behold, one like the Son of Man came with the clouds of heaven and came to the Ancient of Days, and they brought him before him, and there was given dominion and glory in the kingdom that all people and nations and languages should serve him. His dominion is an everlasting dominion which shall not pass away, and his kingdom is that which shall not be destroyed. And now, what is this? That means your captivity is over. But we want to understand this. We want the sense and the meaning of this. We see that we have these four beasts, but who are they? And how do we know they are who we say they are? As I showed you already in the second chapter of Daniel, the first beast or the first image, kingdom of Babylon, Nebuchadnezzar. But who is the second and third? Well, look in the book of Daniel, the eighth chapter. And the fourth. Eighth chapter, start reading in verse 2.
It reads, and I saw in a vision, and it came to pass when I saw that I was at Shushan in the palace, which is in the province of Elam, and I saw in a vision, and I was by the river of Ulai. Then I lifted up mine eyes and saw, and behold, there stood before the river a ram which had two horns.
Now this ram has two horns. Let you know, the Medes and the Persians, they was from the same area. They had a ram with two horns on it.
Were high, but one was higher than the other.
And that's how you know the third beast, which were the Persians, reigned more dominant. Their reign was more dominant than the Medes, because one horn was higher than the other.
Mm-hmm. And the higher came up last.
And the Persians ruled after the Medes, so they came up last.
Mm-hmm. And I saw the ram pushing westward.
And the ram pushed westward. That's why if you do your history, you'll see that there was these great wars between the Persians and the Grecians. Because the Persians was from the east, but the Grecians was west. So this ram pushed westward and
northward.
And they went up north. They tried to conquer the Turks, which you know today, the Turks, and these other northern nations. They went northward
and southward.
And it went south. It took over lands in Africa.
So that no beast might stand before him.
And that's why you saw in the book of Esther. They ruled from where? India all the way to Ethiopia. Okay?
Neither was there any that could deliver out of his hand.
None could deliver out of this beast's hand.
But he did according to his will and became great.
Mm-hmm.
And as I was considering, behold, a he-goat came from the west.
Now, here comes this goat from the west. And as you, if you know your geography, Grecians are west of Persians. Here comes this goat from the west.
On the face of the whole earth.
And it came from the face of the whole earth.
And touched not the ground.
And it was running so fast, it was like it was flying. It didn't even touch the ground.
And the goat had a notable horn now, between his eyes.
Here go another strange horn on this goat.
Mm-hmm. And he came to the ram that had two horns, which I had seen standing before the river.
Now here comes this goat with the strange horn to confront this ram that's been conquering. Do your history on the wars of the Grecians and the Persians.
Mm-hmm. And ran unto him in the fury of his power.
Mm-hmm.
And I saw him come close unto the ram, and he was moved with choler against him, and smote the ram, and brake his two horns. And there was no power in the ram to stand before him. But he cast him down to the ground, and stamped upon him. And there was none that could deliver the ram out of his hand.
And you see this goat with this strange horn destroyed this ram that had the Medes and the Persians as their kingdoms. Now, who did this? They teach you this in school. That Alexander, who they call Alexander the Great, conquered these countries. They couldn't stop him. He just moved across the face of the earth as if he was flying. And he destroyed this ram. And therefore, the goat waxed what?
Very great.
And when he was strong,
the great horn was broken.
And for it came up,
for no table ones towards the four winds of heaven.
It came up four notable ones towards the four winds of heaven.
And out of one of them came forth a little horn.
And here comes this little horn, like in the seventh chapter, comes out of this,
which waxed exceedingly great.
And it was very great.
Towards the south,
mm-hmm.
and towards the east,
mm-hmm.
and towards the pleasant land.
Even to the holy land.
And it waxed great, even to the host of heaven.
It built spaceships and put space stations in the sky.
And it cast down some of the hosts.
It polluted the sky. It tried to cast down angels. It tried to cast down the stars.
To the ground and stamped upon them.
Mm-hmm.
Yea, he magnified himself, even to the prince of the host.
Magnified himself even to the prince of the host.
And by him, the daily sacrifice was taken away.
By him coming up and taking over, there was no more sacrifice in the holy house of Yah.
And the place of his sanctuary was cast down.
He burned down the sanctuary of Yah.
And a host was given him against the daily sacrifice by reason of transgression.
And it cast down
the truth to the ground
as it is today.
And it practiced.
And it practiced. It did, wielded craft and prospered as they do today.
And then I heard one saint speaking, and another saint said unto that certain saint which spake, how long?
Now, let me let you understand what you're reading here. This is about the same four beasts, the same image. Now, let's get to the naming, and I'm going to get right to it. Go to verse 18.
It reads, now, as he was speaking with me, I was in a deep sleep, on my face towards the ground. But he touched me and set me upright. And he said, behold, I will make thee know what shall be in the last of the indignation. For at the time appointed, the end shall be. The ram which thou sawest, having two horns.
Now, here is the evidence. The angels telling Daniel, the ram you saw,
having two horns, are the kings of Media
and
Persia.
Persia. Not Media, Persia, but Media and Persia. Mm-hmm.
And the rough goat is the king of Grecia.
The rough goat, that's the king of Grecia.
And the great horn that is between his eyes is the first king,
which was Alexander. Now, if you look in the Hebrew or your concordances, that word Grecia is not Grecia, it's Yavan. And who is Yavan or Javan? Who is Javan? Well, let's look. Hold this because there's some more I want to show you here. But go to the book of Genesis, the 10th chapter. And you're going to find out who Javan or Yavan is. In Genesis, start reading in the first verse of the 10th chapter.
Now these are the generations of the sons of Noah, Shem, Ham, and Japheth.
See, Yahweh is the creator. So he deals with original things. So you might call yourself an African American, but when Yah calls you, he calls you Yaakov or Yisrael or the seed of Abraham or the seed of Yitzchak or Isaac. He's not about to call you a New Yorker. He's not going to call you the son of Jameson. He's calling you, he's talking to your blood. He's talking to the life that's in you. See, that's who he's talking to, because in you is your blood, and that blood holds your life, but that blood is ancient. It came from your father and your father's father and his father's father's father and so forth. So that blood that's in you, black man and woman, is the blood of Abraham, Sarah, Yitzchak, Rebecca, Yisrael, Rachel, Leah, Bilhah, Zilpah, and the 12 sons and their wives of Yisrael. That's the blood that's in you. Just being reproduced all this time. And when he speaks about the original people, and he's telling you that these are the generations of Noah, Shem, Ham, and Japhet, and unto them
were sons born after the flood.
Now, these are the sons of Japhet.
Gomer.
Gomer, his first son.
And Magog.
Magog, his second son.
And Madai.
Madai, his third son.
And Javan.
And Javan, his fourth son. Now, when, as I said, go back to the book of Daniel, the 8th chapter, and you see in that, what verse was that? Was that 19 or 20? In that verse 20 of Daniel 8, we'll see where it says, again, read verse 20. It says, the ram that thou sawest having two horns are the kings of Media and Persia, and
the rough goat is the king of Grecia.
And that Grecia, as I told you, is Javan. Is the king of Javan. Yahweh didn't call him Greece. That's what Greeks call themselves, Greece. But they know they was Javan. But if they call themselves Javan today, it might turn something on in you. They don't want you to know. But the king of Javan, and that was the fourth king. Now, who was the fourth beast? It says, and the great horn
that is between his eyes is the first king.
Uh-huh.
Now, that being broken, whereas four stood up for it.
Four stood up. Mm-hmm.
Four kingdoms shall stand up out of the nation, but not in his power.
Now, this is history. When Alexander the Great died, the kingdom was split into four different kingdoms. One of these realms is what you would call the Roman or Italy, Rome. That's where one of these realms were. And this nation is said, but it stood up not in his power. In the latter time of their kingdom, when the transgressors have come to a full and a fierce countenance and the understanding of dark sentences. See, it says in the latter time of their kingdom, when the transgressors are come to a full, a king of fierce countenance and understanding dark sentences shall stand. And this is what happened. This is what Yah explained to you about the fourth beast in the seventh chapter. As you read it again, in Daniel 7 and 8, it says, I considered the horns, and behold, there came up among them another little horn, before whom were three horns first plucked up by the roots. Out of those four, there stood up a kingdom, and it removed the other three. And this is what happened and how your Roman Empire was established, by taking over the realm and kingdom of Greece, of Javan. But you have to realize and understand that the descendants of the Roman are the descendants of Javan. And this is your fourth beast. And keep reading. Verse 24.
And his power shall be mighty, but not by his own power.
And has not this Roman and Grecian, the sons of Javan, have not their power been mighty? Have not they took hold of the entire earth? Do you not learn in school that democracy was first founded in Greece? The senators and congressmen, all this is Greco-Roman structure. And they stole it from the Egyptians. But yet, they reference everything back to the Grecians. When you go to college, you take philosophy, which is Greek for love of wisdom, or sociology, which is Greek for the study of societies. Or biology, which is Greek for the study of life, or psychology, which is Greek for the study of the mind. Anything you're learning is Greek in colleges like Greeks did. You go to the gymnasium like the homosexual Greeks did. All of this is Grecian. What happens every 4 years? The Olympics. And they run their flame around the world to signify that they rule the world. And what is this? Grecian. A practice of the children of Javan. This is all Grecian. The Colosseums. All you see today is of the Grecian Empire. And it said they shall destroy the mighty and the holy people. It said his power shall be mighty, but not by his own power. And he shall destroy wonderfully and shall prosper and practice and shall destroy the mighty and holy people. And through his policy, and it's these Europeans, their policy. They always doing policies. They have all these policies. Through his policy, also he shall cause craft. And you see how they work with their science. The little phone you got in your hand, you can do all kind of things with it. You see everything they doing is working craft to prosper in his hand and shall magnify himself in his heart and by peace. And that's what they're always proclaiming. They come to bring peace. Shall destroy many. He shall also stand up against the prince of princes, but he shall be broken without hand. And the vision of the evening and the morning, which you was told is true. Therefore, shut up the vision, for it shall be for many days. And this made Daniel sick when he saw how the world was going to turn out because of our captivities. Now, let's look further at this. As we showed you, this fourth kingdom is the Grecians, Javan. Why aren't you seeing an identification of this fourth beast being Rome? And all you see is Greece or the Grecians. People want to know, when does it talk about the Americans? Well, the Americans are the Grecians. Look in the book of Joel, the third chapter. And in Joel chapter 3, start reading at the first verse. No, let's get right to it. In Joel chapter 3, we'll start reading in verse 3. And it says,
and they have cast lots for my people.
Because the nations, Yahweh said he's going to gather together. Because Israel has been scattered among the nations, and the nations have parted Yah's land as it is today. And they have cast lots
for my people.
Meaning they rolled the dice. They gambled. They said, let's see. Let's see who's going to get who. It's called the scramble for Africa. Look it up. They cast lots for God's people.
And they've given a boy for a harlot.
And they sold harlots just so they could get this Israelite slave.
And sold a girl for wine.
And they traded wine and sugar and rum just so they could get the Israelite slave.
That they might drink.
Yea.
And what have ye to do with me, O Tyre and Zidon and all the coast of Palestine?
All you Palestinians that sold the Israelites,
will ye render me a recompense?
Why you think the Palestinians don't have any peace today? If you recompense me
swiftly and speedily, will I return your recompense upon your own head?
But ye
have taken my silver and my gold.
You went into my land and took my treasures.
And have carried into your temples my goodly pleasant things.
You took into your temples my holy things.
The children also of Yehuda.
You took the children of Yehuda, that's who we are.
And the children of Jerusalem.
And you sold them
unto the Grecians.
Unto the Javani, or unto the Javanites. The sons of Javan, the Grecians.
That ye might remove them far.
Far. And are we not far from our border? Behold, I will raise them out of the place where you have sold them. He said he's going to raise us out of this place that we're in. But how long are we going to be here? 400 years. The fourth beast for 400 years. The fourth son of Japhet. And Japhet is the father of all the Gentiles. And then you might remove them far from the land, and he will raise us up in the place where we have been sold, and will return your recompense upon you on your head. So you see, there's America right there. And everybody that had anything to do with selling the children of Israel. Yahweh said that we were sold for wine and for harlots We were given for nothing. This stuff was worth nothing. This is what we were given for? This is what the fourth beast did to Yah's people? Yet, that's not the only time the Most High showed you what he's talking about when it comes to the Grecians. Look in the book of, I believe I wanted to go to the book of Daniel, the 10th chapter. No, not Daniel, the 10th chapter. Where I wanted to go was back to Daniel, the 7th chapter. So now that you understand that this fourth beast is the Grecians, Javan, let's read what it has to say about this fourth kingdom. Let's start reading in Daniel chapter 7, verse 15. It reads,
I, Daniel, was grieved in my spirit in the midst of my body, and the visions of my head troubled me. And I came near unto one that stood by and asked him the truth of all this. So he told me and made me know the interpretation of the things. These great beasts, which are four.
He said, these great beasts are four. Now, Yah is going to get praises with this fourth beast because this is the one that's getting destroyed. And as you saw in the dream, after he destroyed it, the kingdom and dominion was given to one that was the appearance of the Son of Man. I know these preachers want to teach you that this was the Christ of the New Testament, but that's a lie. He's going to show you who this vision of the Son of Man was, also who the rock that slew the image in the second chapter was that became a mountain and came over the whole earth. Keep reading.
These great beasts, which are four kings, which shall arise out of the earth. But the saints of the Most High shall take the kingdom and possess the kingdom forever, even forever and ever.
So the four beasts will reign, but the saints with an S, not the one saint, not some one person, but the saints of the Most High will hold the kingdom forever. Because the fourth beast will be slain, and now Yah's praises will go forth through the earth. Keep reading.
Then I would know the truth of the fourth beast,
which
was diverse from all the others, exceeding dreadful, whose teeth were of iron,
and his nails
of brass, which devoured, break in pieces, and stamped the residue with his feet.
And that's what the Grecians did. They devoured the whole earth. Conquered everything they could find. And when Alexander and his people couldn't do it, the other kings stood up and they did it. And then the Romans did it. And then the Germans did it. And then the English did it. And now the Americans are doing it. They just went throughout the entire world and conquered everything they could.
And of the 10 horns that were in his head, and of the others which came up, and before whom their three fell, even of that horn that had eyes, and a mouth that spake very great things, whose look was more stout than his fellows.
Now you see that? Of the 10 horns of his head, and the other which came up before him, whom three fell. You see, this is where your four horns raise up, but there was one that stood before them and plucked up three out of the roots. You had the goat had the horn, but four stood up, but then one came up out of them and was more terrible than all the others.
I beheld, and the same horn made war with the saints.
What horn, white, dreadful, ugly looking thing with mouth and eyes that talks great words that made war against Yah's people? Who's done this?
And prevailed against them.
And prevailed.
Until the Ancient of Days came, and judgment was given to the saints of the Most High. And the time came that the saints possessed the kingdom. Thus he said, the fourth beast shall be the fourth kingdom upon the earth.
This is the fourth kingdom. As it was taught a couple weeks ago, when Yahweh sent the children of Israel into Egypt, and he told Pharaoh, for this is the cause that I have raised you up so that my name may be known throughout the whole world. And that was the second captivity mentioned. Yah's name, which is what this order of two represents, the name of Yah, the from heaven being established. And now for the Most High's people to be established, as Yahweh took 2 days to establish the heavens, because in the second day he made the heavens. And this represents his name. But on the fourth day, Yahweh put the lights in the heavens. And now the heavens was established, and you can praise the Most High from the rising of the sun to the going down of the same, because now it is established and you can praise Yah in the order of four. And so he got the fourth kingdom so his praises can be established. This is the kingdom in which Yah is going to get his praises. That's why he put the kingdom of Yehuda in the fourth beast. That's why Yehuda is here today, as I just read in the book of Yoel. You sent Yehuda to the Grecians. And who gives Yah his praises? The tribe of Yehuda, which is the fourth tribe. So it is in the order of four in which Yah is getting his praises through this fourth beast. He said, the fourth beast, verse 23,
the fourth beast shall be the fourth kingdom upon earth, which shall be diverse from all kingdoms.
And it got to be different from all kingdoms. It got to be stronger. It got to be more wicked. It got to be just completely different. So it can make, so Yahweh can make a statement when he destroys this kingdom.
And shall devour the whole earth.
It got to devour the whole earth. It can't just do like Egypt. And it can't just do like Persia. And it can't just do like some other kingdom. It got to devour the whole earth.
And shall tread it down.
It got to tread it down. As you see, they have put bases and troops and bombs all over the world.
And break it in pieces.
And it's going to break the world in pieces. That's why you have the United Nations that has over 200 countries. And these people only come from Ham, Shem, or Japheth, but he done broke it in pieces.
And the 10 horns out of this kingdom are 10 kings that shall arise,
mm-hmm.
and another shall rise after them.
And you have this strange kingdom coming up after them.
And he shall be diverse from the first.
And the reason he is so diverse is because what you don't understand is that the so-called Roman kingdom is the only one that ruled as long as it did under this religion called Christianity. This was different than all the other kingdoms. No other kingdom ruled and forced everyone to rule, be ruled under this Christianity.
And he shall subdue three kings.
Mm-hmm.
And he shall speak great words against the Most High.
This Christianity and all the religions that have spawned from it have spoken great words against the Most High. What little horny-looking, buggy-eyed, mouth, white, ugly thing you know that speaks great words against the Most High? They got a horn. It's the Pope. Every day he's blaspheming and speaking great words against the Most High. And he has this kingdom. This entire kingdom speaks great words against the Most High.
Uh-huh. And shall wear out the saints of the Most High.
And who you know has done worn out the saints? Who sanctioned slavery? The Pope. Who sanctioned all this oppression against the children of Israel? The Pope. Who decided to sanction the changing of the calendar? The Pope. Who decided to sanction that Christianity be in the earth? The Pope. Who wears out the saints of the Most High? this weird-looking horn called the Grecians or the sons of Javan. This, who is the fourth son of Japhet, is the fourth beast. Uh-huh.
And think to change times and
he
laws.
He changed times and laws. Don't you realize that this thing that our people are doing today when it comes to our times is Grecian? People think that this 13 months came from some Israelites. No, sir, it did not. It's called the Synodic calendar. It's a Grecian calendar that has 13 months, that follows the moon, that has 29 and a quarter or a half days, that doesn't know what the heck it's talking about. It's Grecian. That's what it is. Don't you understand that these gods that the Romans served were originally Grecian? Don't you understand that this whole system of time that you're dealing with has came from Greco-Roman philosophy? And then the laws have been changed. Now you celebrate Christmas and all this other stuff. These things have came from the Grecians. They have changed the laws now and the times.
And they shall be given into his hand until a time and time and a dividing of time.
And we could teach you at another time exactly what that time and dividing with time is. But the judgment shall what?
Sit.
And it shall, and they shall take away
his dominion
to consume
and to destroy it
until the end. Because it's going to have rest. This seventh captivity that you're in, the first mention, but the seventh actual is when we're going to have some rest, because the judgment will sit. No more will we go into captivity. It will be over, and the kingdom will have dominion, and the greatness of the kingdom under the whole heaven shall be given to the people of the saints of the Most High. That's who it was, the Son of Man, the kingdom of the saints of the Most High, Christ. And it shall be an everlasting kingdom, and all dominions shall serve and obey him. This is your fourth beast, and this is the last captivity in the seven captivities. And my people, we're at the end of this road. Again, Yah said this will go on, this last captivity will be 400 years. And this 400 years is coming to a head. The children of Javan is coming to a close. And you have to beware of the signs of the times and not allow yourself to be taken, as many people will be fooled by the liars that are out here telling you that you got time to do whatever. No, Yah's coming. And that's why he has raised up his messengers to let you know that he is coming and he wants you to be prepared. Now go to the book of Zechariah, the 9th chapter. And start reading in verse 12.
Zechariah 9, verse 12 reads, "Turn you to the stronghold, you prisoners of hope."
Turn, who is the stronghold? Yahweh is our stronghold. And we're the prisoners of hope. We're the ones in captivity, and all we can do is hope that Yahweh comes and get us. And yes, hope, keep on hoping, and don't stop hoping, and keep on believing, because if you believe in Yah, you will be established. So turn to the stronghold, you prisoners of hope.
Even to the day do I declare that I will render double unto thee.
I'm going to declare you're going to get double.
when I have bent Yehuda for me,
and filled
with Ephraim,
the bow with Ephraim,
and raised up thy son,
and I'm going to raise up your sons,
O Zion,
against
thy son,
O Greece,
and make thee as the sword of a mighty man.
So there's going to come a time where this sword that Yahweh called his battle axe is able to do away with the fourth beast. And Yah shall be seen over them, and his arrow shall go forth as the lightning. And Yah Elohim shall blow with the trumpet, and shall go with whirlwinds of the south. Yah of hosts shall defend them, and they shall devour and subdue with sling stones. And they shall drink and make a noise through wine. And they shall be filled like bowls. And as for the corners of the altar, and Yah the Elohim shall save them in that day as the flock of his people. For they shall be as the stone of a crown lifted up as an ensign upon his land. For how great is his goodness, and how great is his beauty. Corn shall make the young men cheerful, and the new wine the maids. Hallelujah. The mighty Yah is letting us know that the kingdom, which is the kingdom of Greece, which is the fourth beast, this is the kingdom he'll destroy, that he's going to get his praise. So it is befitting that we're able to bring to you in Yah's fourth month of his year to show you that this is the time in which Yah will get his praises. It is not It is not a coincidence that Yah used the fourth month of his year to teach you about the fourth beast, about your 400-year captivity. So you can do this for his praises and know how to praise him. And just to show you that I'm not lying about the fourth being for Yah's praise, one last scripture and then we'll go to our callers if we have any. In the book of Leviticus, the 19th chapter, Leviticus chapter 19, start reading around the 23rd verse.
Leviticus 19, verse 23 reads, "And when ye shall come into the land, and shall have planted all manner of trees for food, then ye shall count the fruit thereof as uncircumcised. 3 years shall it be as uncircumcised unto you."
So these three kingdoms before, they is uncircumcised. In 3 years, the fruit is uncircumcised.
"And it shall not be eaten of, but in the fourth year."
But in the fourth year,
"all the fruit thereof shall be holy."
That's why the kingdom was diverse. And it was different. See, when you're holy, you're set apart. Something got to be different about you. So in the fourth year shall be holy
to praise Yah with them.
That's what happens in the fourth year. You praise Yah. He had to make this fourth beast different so it can be a unique thing. Look what it says in the book of Jeremiah. Do we have any callers? And if you want to make a comment or you have a question, the number is 347-838-8963. That's 347-838-8963. Press the number 1 and we'll get to you. But in the book of Jeremiah, the 16th chapter? Yes. Jeremiah chapter 16. Start reading in verse 11.
Reads, "Then shall thou say unto them, because your fathers have forsaken me, saith Yah, and have walked after other deities, and have served them, and have worshipped them, and have forsaken me, and have not kept my law.
Because the question is asked in the 10th verse, and it shall come to pass, when thou shalt show this people all these words, and they shall say unto thee, why or wherefore hath Yahweh pronounced all this great evil against us? Why is all this horrific things coming upon us? What is our iniquity? What is our sin that we have committed against Yah, our Elohim? Yah said, because your forefathers have forsaken me, saith Yah, and have walked after other Elohim and served false gods, like the Christ of the New Testament, like Yahawashah HaMashiach, like the Muslim deity. You have walked after these other deities and served them and have worshipped them and have forsaken and have forgotten the Most High and forsaken him and have not kept the law. Why? And then it says,
and ye have done worse than your fathers.
Now he's talking to us, and we done worse than our fathers.
For behold, ye walk one after the imagination of his evil heart.
At least our fathers just follow somebody else. We just following our own self after our own evil imagination.
That they may not hearken unto me.
We don't even listen to the messengers of the Most High because we just too wise for our own good.
Therefore, will I cast you out of this land.
So I got to get you up out of my land.
Into a land that ye know not.
And like he said in Genesis 15, your children shall go into a land that they have not known, neither their fathers, that is not theirs.
And there ye shall serve other gods.
And there you shall serve them and be afflicted for 400 years. And there you'll serve other gods, even of wood and stone.
Day and night, where I will not show you favor.
So a police officer will pull you over. And you'll get out the car because you got child support payments. You don't want to go to jail. And you'll start running. And then the police officer will shoot you down 8 times in the back. And it'll be caught on camera. And you'll die on camera. And the police officer will plant the gun in your hand, attempt to, on camera. And then he'll get acquitted. Because you'll have no favor. And that's exactly what just happened. Our brother in South Carolina that murdered last year, his murderer got let off. Police officer will pull you over and shoot you in the head because the police officer tried to pull you out the car. And he'll shoot you in the head on camera. They can't come to a decision if he's guilty or not. Police officer shoot you in the back point blank while he's straddling you because you were selling CDs. Shoot you in the back point blank on camera. Shoot you in the back on camera and he'll get off. Police officer will choke you to death on camera and he'll get let free. Man, that ain't even a police officer. Will call a young black boy all kind of names, chase him even though the people told him not to, shoot him in the chest on the phone, and he'll go free. He said, I will show you no favor here. This is not wearing out the saints to the Most High. In verse 14, he says,
therefore, behold, the days come, saith Yah, that it shall no more be said, Yah liveth, that brought up the children of Israel out of the land of Egypt.
Because in Egypt, we were slaves. And Egypt was the most powerful nation on earth. There was no kingdom like Egypt. So Yahweh had to make an even more diverse kingdom so he can get the praises from the four corners of the earth. And I'm going to show you that, but keep reading this.
But Yah liveth, that brought up the children of Israel from the land of the north and from all the lands whither he hath driven them. And I will bring them again into their land and that I gave unto their fathers.
Yes, from the land of the north. Now, read that verse again.
It says, but Yahweh liveth, that brought up the children of Israel from the land of the north.
I just want to make reference to let you know, Yahweh said that we'll say that Yah liveth that brought up the children of Israel from the land of the north. And they told you that north is up, but north is down. That's down in the grave. But we're going to be brought up out of the land of the north. I just wanted you to know that because I've been teaching lately that we don't even know which way is up anymore. Thing Yahweh said he will overturn and overturn and overturn it. Yahweh said that we have turned this world upside down. Yahweh said that for the things of you turning things upside down, he will punish you. And he's very literal. But go to the book of Isaiah just to enhance on what we're speaking about to show you the Most High is going to save Israel from this fourth beast for his praises. Go to Isaiah, the 11th chapter, and start reading in verse 10.
It reads, and in that day there shall be a root of Jesse, which shall stand for an ensign
now,
of this
the
people.
The root of Jesse, and in the first verse it lets you know the branch of Jesse. Now, I was in a debate the other day, and somebody tried to tell me that the branch wasn't David. But as my teacher taught me, who is the father of Jesse? I'm sorry, who is Jesse's father? Well, Jesse's father is Jesse is the father of King David. Now, where else do you see Jesse mentioned in the scriptures except in the book of Samuel? Right here. And why would Yahweh want to say the root of Jesse shall stand? Why? Because he's like, you know who the son of Jesse is David. The root of Jesse, which shall stand for a what?
Ensign of the people.
And it shall?
Shall be a sign to the Gentiles seek.
The Gentiles. Japhet is the father of all the Gentiles. Javan is a Gentile. The Grecians are Gentiles. That's why the FBI put out this document in this policy called COINTELPRO, which was sent to destroy the rising of the black Messiah, because they don't want this ensign to stand to the Gentiles, but the Gentiles will seek to it because they're going to be whooped over the head. So they're going to want the black man to rise up, and his rest shall be glorious. And it shall come to pass in that day that Yah shall set his hand again the second time to recover the remnant of his people, which shall be left from Assyria and from Egypt and from Pathros and from Cush and from Elam and from Shinar and from Hamath and from the isles of the sea. And he shall set up an ensign for the nations and shall assemble the outcasts of Israel and gather together the dispersed of Yehuda. Yehuda's dispersed. The fourth tribe is dispersed from where?
From the four corners of the earth.
From the four corners of the earth. Yehuda, the fourth tribe, is dispersed from the four corners of the earth. And who sent them to the four corners of the earth? None other than the fourth beast, who Yahweh used to send us to the four corners of the earth. The fourth beast, who devoured the whole earth, that's why it's the four corners of the earth. The fourth son of Japhet for 400 years. I didn't make this up. This is in the book, and I just showed you. Yahweh said that the fourth order of fourths for his praises, and was showing you this in the fourth month. And we see that the Most High is going to raise his people And this is how he's going to get his praise. The 50 or the 62nd chapter, Isaiah chapter 62. And start your reading. We'll start reading at verse 6. It reads,
I have set watchmen upon thy walls, O Jerusalem.
And we're going to be talking about what is a watchman according to the scriptures. Now, I'm showing you right here one clue about a watchman. Yahweh says this, I have set watchmen. So we're going to be talking about who are Yah's watchmen. Because Yahweh set watchmen upon thy walls,
O Jerusalem,
and which shall never
hold their peace day nor night. Ye that make mention of Yah, keep not silence, and give him no rest, till he establish and till he make Jerusalem a praise in the earth.
You see that? When we return, Jerusalem becomes a praise in the earth. Yahweh is doing this for his praise. All right, we have a caller. Go ahead, caller.
Shalom, shalom, my brother.
Shalom, shalom. Elder, you're on the air. Hallelujah.
Yeah, hallelujah. I just want to say that everything you're saying is on point. And incidentally, with what you're saying, a brother was just killed in Greece just a couple of days ago. He was a graduate of Arizona, lived in Texas, looking for a career in fashion. And he was killed in Greece, and I just thought about in text of all that you're saying and knowing that if you don't know and you're not seeking out the knowledge of people like what you just taught and all his messages, you're going to be in trouble. So just to be short and brief, what you said about Javon, you know, and who that is and what it is, if you have any type of alertness or curiosity or plain just able to see what it is, you can see that what you're saying is true, giving glory to the mighty Yah. There's a couple of people that may be listening that I gave the number to, and I pray that they get out of it what I'm saying and what others are saying about your message. So carry on, brother, before you have to close out. I can listen to you all night talking the words
hallelujah.
Of Yah. Yes, hallelujah. Shalom,
praise
shalom.
Yah. All right, brother, thank you for your call. No other callers? Well, praise the mighty Yah. This has been a blessing to be able to present to you the word of the Most High Yah, as Yahweh has shown us in his scriptures. Again, you've been listening to Nothing But the Truth. And I've been your host, Morey Ishya, in for Morey Ishaya. And until next time, Yahweh loves you very much, and so do we at the house of Yisrael. Shalom.